My name's Howard Lichty. I teach at Countryside Christian School, Ontario. School, we have about, next year we'll have 140 students. There's 11 part-time and full-time teachers at our school. And I've been taught there for 13 years, been principal for 9 years. I've enjoyed teaching, obviously, that's why I'm still doing it. And I think as I've been here, we are a very diverse group of people in the schools we represent. How many of you, there are about three teachers at your school? Okay. How many of you, you're the only guy teacher there? Okay, so a few more hands joined that list there. How many of you would have more than two male teachers with you? Okay, so we're somewhat of quite a bit in the minority. Okay, interesting. Topic that was assigned to me, relational challenges facing men in the classroom. I'm going to broaden that a little bit and talk about relational challenges facing men in the school. But first of all, I want to commend you for teaching. As I surveyed the audience being here this weekend, or this week, I've been just blessed with how many men are teaching. And that excites me. And as I look back, I think that percentage is going up. I don't know, have a clear statistical proof for that, but I think it's going up. The trend is completely opposite in the public system. In Canada, in the 80s, we would have had 40% of teachers in the school system were male. That dropped in the 90s to 30%, and actually today to around 30%, but only 15% of applicants to college are males. And so there's going to be a dramatic shift in that whole the percentage-wise. In the U.S., you're even further behind. You're in worse shape. 2002, only 21% of teachers were male, and only 9% of primary teachers were male. So we think of broken homes. We think of loss of father figures in the homes. And then now we're losing male influence in the homes. Is it any wonder our nations are facing challenges that they are? Male leadership. I count it a big blessing in my schooling years. I've always taught with another male teacher. And the ones that I've worked with, we've talked about it often, how so glad we have each other. I teach with one male teacher I've taught with for 11 years now. And so we know each other quite well, and we're very different. But our differences have allowed us to complement each other, and we've been blessed to relate in many ways. And for some of the things that I'm going to talk about this morning, I know I don't face a situation like some of you do just because of the fact that I have another male teacher to speak with. I also want to say that this wasn't exactly the topic I was looking forward to the most in addressing. It is one that I'm concerned about, especially as I hear stories of things that have happened and taking place. I'm hoping we can, as men, commit to godliness, commit to honor, commit to integrity as we enter the classroom, as we lead our classrooms, as we lead our schools, that we don't fall into the pit, into some of the troubles that can come our way. In my schooling years, I had a grade 4 teacher that made an impact on me, a positive impact. He was male. He was a big guy. His name was Mr. Reese. And he's the only teacher that sent me out of the classroom for discipline. I guess Glendon and I probably were a little bit different. I was the shy, quiet guy in the classroom that didn't try to make a lot of trouble. But I got kicked out of class once for making noises, obnoxious noises. And he sent me out. And I just remember the influence that he had on me as I just kind of like stood and looked at him in awe of, here's this man of authority. And I was scared of him. I was. And I've talked it over with several times with some of my lady staff that just because of your gender, you have a tremendous advantage going into your classrooms because you're a male. You have just a natural authority that they don't have when they move into a classroom. My wife and I have talked about it. She taught for a while as well, and she knows the struggle in a grade 5-6 classroom getting the boys on board to respect her and to respect her leadership. You or I can walk in there. We have to lose it. We've got it. We have to lose it, and we can lose it. But it's just an advantage you and I have just because of our gender. And it's something I think we should recognize. I also recognize going into a grade 5 and 6 classroom, I taught grade 6 math for a couple of years, how do me relating in that classroom, I don't have the gentle spirit like my wife would have. You know, I've had girls in tears. I don't know if you've had that same situation. And, you know, being able to, when that happens, and usually you can see it coming, knowing how to handle that situation properly. So those are some of the things we're going to look at and consider. As I think of being a leader in our classroom and some of the relational challenges that we will face, we need to be a firm leader, but we need to be a very humble leader. Glendon touched on some of the things that I allude to a little bit this morning, but I can't emphasize enough of being willing to be humble, admit when you're wrong, and be able and to go in a classroom and do that. He's talked about being fair, about not showing favoritism. I think that is important. A man of honor, a man of integrity. Sometimes in my classrooms, I'll ask the students, you know, what do you think of this? This is something we have to make a decision here. I don't really have a strong opinion on it. I'll get their feedback, but you still need to make the decision. You have to be in control. Be fair in that. Be a man of honor. When you make a decision, stick with it. And if you make mistakes in discipline, admit them. And I'm just parroting what Glenn said, but I see that as being very key in establishing and keeping your respect in the classroom. If you've blown it, and if you've made a mistake, and you don't admit it, and you're not willing to admit it, you're in for trouble. Because if you're not willing to admit your mistake, why should your students, and why should your guy students respect that? If you're not willing to do that. I'd like to look at four aspects of relational challenges that we face. I'd like to look at of dealing with our authority. I hadn't planned on talking on this one, and then kind of felt maybe it's kind of side note from the ones that I've had planned to talk on. But dealing with our authority, how we relate to our authority, how we relate to the male students in our classroom, and how we relate to the female students in the classroom, and then co-teachers, and specifically looking at our relationships with female teachers in our classroom. We're going to get practical. We're going to look at some things. I'll say right away, I'm not expecting you. You might disagree with some of the things I share. I want this to be discussion. I have a few questions, and they're in your handouts that are there that we're going to discuss. We're going to just break up into groups, and I want you to give feedback. How would you handle these situations? What would you do? Maybe some of you have been in difficult situations, and you can give us some wisdom in dealing with some things. So I'd like to look at some of that. So we're going to start with relating to our authority. Like I said before, I don't think you can expect your students to respect your authority if you don't respect those who are higher than you. So how do you relate to your board? How do you for those of you who are principals, how do you relate to your school board? For those of you who are teachers, how do you relate to your principal? I'm sure there are times that they have made decisions or policies that you don't agree with. How do you respond to that? Where do you take it? Do you come back from a meeting where maybe a policy has been announced or established and you disagree with it, and then do you blow off to your co-teachers? Or worse yet, I think, if you're a principal, do you run down your board to your teachers? That kind of an attitude, that kind of a, well, attitude is probably the best word, you might think you're keeping it just within your classroom or just within the school teachers, but it's going to get out. And it's going to permeate your student body as well. And it will impact them. And so I think it's very important that we respond in a godly way. I pick up a job in the summertime, and I realize that places of employment are no different than schools and temptations like this. How many times do you hear employees talking about the bosses? Okay? Well, it's the same situation. It's the same thing, and it's a temptation that we face, and we need to deal with. I have made mistakes. I have failed in this. There have been times I have brought things I disagreed with my board back to my staff, and it has not been positive. It isn't positive. It just breeds a discontent within your teaching body. That's not healthy. There was one example a couple years ago, and those of you who are in my technology sessions, I talked about our school introducing Rosetta Stone and as a language program. And we had been researching a new way of delivering our language program. I hadn't been happy with what we'd been doing in previous time. In Canada, we teach French. We'd always taught French. And so I had proposed that we would make the investment in Rosetta Stone software, significant financial investment, change over to that for delivering language. We looked at the pros and cons, and as a board, made the decision that we're going to look into it a little more, but we'll probably go that way. Next board meeting I come to, I was just shocked because it was proposed, well, Howard, what would you think if we're making this investment, why don't we change the language? We think we should teach Spanish instead of French. So I begged off for another board meeting to try and build up a defense for French, because that was not a decision I was necessarily in favor of. And the way our school is structured, we work on some of these things together. The board direction was, we're going to change to Spanish. Okay. I didn't agree with that necessarily, so how do I respond? How many of you teach a language in your class, in your school? How excited are the students of taking it? They're just, yes, can't wait to take that language class. Usually you have to sell it, right? So how is it going to be for me to sell a language that I wasn't necessarily 100% on board? So I have to look at myself. What's my attitude going to be in this? And you know, I will not say I didn't struggle. I did. But I knew that I had to get on board with this. I'm fine with it now. Is it a decision I didn't agree with? Yes. But if I don't agree with it, and it's that big of a problem, and if I'm going to sit in my school and just cause rebellion, it's better for me to leave. It'd be much better to leave. Don't sit disgruntled in your school. If you disagree with something, move on. Because you're just going to breed discontent within the student body, disrespect for authority. And we need to model that. Have I told the students that I didn't really, this wasn't really my first choice? I think I might have started maybe the last year or two. It's been about 3 years now since we've done it. Maybe just briefly in passing, say, yeah, I wouldn't mind if we would teach French, but I'm fine with Spanish. For me, it's more important we're teaching a second language. And I've been personally been able to reconcile that. But how do you respond to discussions and decisions you don't agree with? It's very important that we properly submit to the authority that's above us. I had my opportunity to share my disagreement. I did that behind closed doors. It's not for me to do that in the classroom now. Don't do it there. As we move on here, maybe I'm just going to open it up here. Does anyone have any comment on relating to authority? Maybe some more advice or another comment. Maybe you've had a situation where you've had to deal with some challenges in that way, or maybe you've seen situations where it's went wrong when it didn't happen. Yes? Definitely. They definitely asked my opinion. And I shared my opinion. And I shared statistical evidence. I didn't feel it was that big of a decision that I needed to really rock the boat. Yeah. 2 years before, I was much more animated when the question was whether we're going to eliminate the language program completely. That was of greater importance to me that time.
Is it okay to say, let the board know, okay, it's going to be a big enough issue with me, let's say you thought French is more important, that, you know, let the board know that it will cost you, I will probably move on. Do you think that's fair to present that to the board? If it was a big enough, let's say if the French was a big enough issue for you.
Well, I think it's only fair for me to do that. But you're saying in the context of our decisions, even.
Not that you're trying to sway the thing, but let them know.
But aren't, when you say that, aren't you trying to sway the thing? I guess I've always been sensitive to that, how much every situation will be different. The importance of every situation will be different. If your school makes dramatic changes in some of its policies, then maybe I would say it's okay to voice your personal opinion on that. This situation, I don't see it anywhere close as important as that. I think there would be times it would be appropriate to share this is not something I can support. And hopefully that doesn't all happen, it shouldn't happen in just one meeting. Hopefully it's longer than that. Okay, let's move on to relating to male students in your classroom. I said before that as you enter a classroom, you typically have the respect just because you are male, but you tend to also have to win and continue to win the respect of the students, and specifically the male students. And I found this from grades 7 to 10 are kind of can be tricky years, especially when you have students who maybe are rebelling against authority and struggling with your authority, or maybe with just authority as a whole, just as a structure. There's been times I've blown it. One example was I had a student, two students who didn't get along in my school. And I guess I won't go into all the details. They had a confrontation. And I had been struggling with the one student. There's been behavioral issues. Long way. We've been working, dealing, trying to work with some of the things. And in the conference with this other student, I made the comment that, don't ever do this. I made the comment, I'm not sure what to do with this student. Don't do that. I lost the respect of that student. We can talk today, and we do talk today. But I know as a school administrator, I lost the respect of that student. And I never did win the other student. They both left the next year. Not something to do. I didn't show, I talked about being the authoritarian figure. I wasn't that. I failed in that. As you think of working with students who maybe resent your authority, the next struggle that you can face is if your parents, their parents, didn't accept your authority. And I'm sure some of you have been in a situation where you've had that double whammy. You didn't have the respect of the student, and you didn't have the respect of the parents. From my observation, you cannot go on long-term like that. Something has to give. Either you move on, or they move on, or somehow it gets reconciled. Because that kind of a situation is not healthy in the classroom. Because every time you are thinking of making an approach on a discipline issue, you're going to be thinking, okay, how are the parents going to respond to this? And it you can't even deal with the little things in those situations. Some of you are maybe entering a classroom first year. Has anyone here? Or maybe you, okay, some of you are. Maybe you're entering a classroom first year where you're taking over a position of someone or maybe another male who left not in favorable circumstances. Maybe there was trouble situations. How do you move into a situation like that? Thankfully, I can speak completely. I don't have a clue here. If anyone is moving into a situation, how would you go into that classroom the first day to begin to win the respect of the men and the young boys in that classroom? What would you do? And we can't, I am a firm believer in praying without ceasing. You know, you walk into a classroom and, Lord help me, you walk into a situation, maybe it's dealing with an approach, Lord help me, very good, completely depending on God. When we try and do it on our own, and we think, oh, I know how to handle this situation. Doesn't it just blow up? It blows up in your face. Okay. You have to be spirit dependent on God. Another suggestion, what would you do? If you were to, someone comes to you, I'm going into this situation. This male teacher was not respected. Maybe was not liked. Maybe there was bigger issues. How would you go in? How would you set a new tone?
Be yourself.
You can't be someone you're not. Exactly right. You have to be yourself. You also have to look long term. You're not going to win the hearts of those guys, the trust of those guys, right away. It's going to take some time. their trust was broken. You need to look long term and just be yourself, be a godly man, and be steady. Anyone else? Consistency, being consistent, yes. I think another key important aspect is developing relationships with them. And I understand with different sizes of schools, this is maybe different. But we come into the classroom and we have the authority figure there. What happens at recess? I firmly believe that there are so many opportunities for positive interaction and relationship building that can happen outside of the formal classroom. In our school, the teachers rotate for recess duty, but lunch hours, they're with their class. And they're relating with their classes for the lunch hour time period. We have in the high school, they have a 10-minute first recess break where typically they are in the halls by their lockers and talking. And I believe there are just so many opportunities for just casual, positive interaction that we can use to build a relationship, communicate with them on their level in that time, that is healthy. As I've been more and more in administration, I have less and less time to do that. And I can usually sense when there's a divide coming between maybe me and a student. Maybe there's losing a lack of respect when we can't talk casually. If I can't strike up a conversation, how's it going? What did you do last night? Those kinds of things, asking questions like that. After school, while they're waiting for their rides to come, talk with them, just communicate, relate with the students. But I think some of those things go so far in building relations. My co-teacher is a master at this. He has a really good relationship with the student body as a whole. And they trust him, and he has their respect in so many ways. And so I think that is a very, very important thing. Well, let's move on to looking at relating to girl students. But a question I have for you there. Here's the question. Being a fairly young, handsome man, Dave has found himself in the center of admiration of a certain female in his grade 9 math class. Attention she's giving him continues to grow. What do you do? Maybe you've never faced this. Have you ever had a girl in one of your classes, for lack of a better word, who's developed a crush on a teacher? How do you handle a situation like that? Excellent. Yes. What is his response?
He just thought it's important to him from the very beginning just talk to another teacher about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let other people, so there's nothing behind the doors.
Exactly.
Another male teacher.
Yes. That's a good question. His mom or sister? Okay. Not the girl's mom or sister. Okay.
Assuming he's not married.
Assuming he's not.
If he's married, he should talk to his wife about it.
I hope it's not happening if he's married, but it might.
But
Realistically, it might, exactly.
People say it happens.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
So should he talk to the girl's parents? Or?
I think it's going to depend on the age of the girl. If we're talking grade 5 to grade 7, I would see that different than grade 8 to 10 or 11 and 12. Grade 11 and 12, I think you better be making some fairly significant contacts with, I would even say potentially at the, depending, I would say probably parents at first, but definitely someone said a fellow teachers or your wife or that becomes potentially a very difficult situation. If it's a younger student, a younger girl, and I think if you're going into a grade like grade 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 and you're a young male teacher, this can probably easily happen. Maybe it's just an infatuation girl. I think you have to deal with it very gently, very carefully. I think you have to be careful not to embarrass the girl publicly. I think I would be very careful, I'm just thinking within the classroom, you'd be very careful in how you relate to that girl, not to ostracize her for it, but also not to show any favoritism. Be careful in your eye contact, how much that happens. I would probably tend to be very careful with that. If we're talking older, though, where there could be real temptations, accountability, I think, is huge in a situation like that. Anyone else?
From my experience, even with boy-girl relationships, the best way is to recognize that, hey, what you're doing, let's say a guy, a young guy is doing it to a girl in your class, a grade 9 boy to the grade 9 girl, what you're doing is not wrong. Keep opening the door for her. Keep giving smiles, being friendly, not necessarily just to her, though. Do it to everybody. You know, mm-hmm. Recognize that what you're doing is not wrong as a gentleman. And keep it up. Just, you know, have a very frank talk. Take them out for ice cream or something after school. I've had to deal with a couple little situations, or get them into school to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think even talking to that girl with another lady co-teacher might have been an option.
I would also suggest, especially if you have a co-teacher, I'm saying if you're dealing with a high school student and you have some female high school students, in our school we have split chapels every other week, guys together, girls together. And through that, she's developed good relationships with the girls. Or maybe she can address some of these things with the girls, just as a group, not singling out. But she does have that door open to speak in to that individual student as a whole.
How do you know if it's actually an infatuation or a crush, or if it's just that they like you?
And that's where I'd be careful, especially in the younger grades, to not jump to too many conclusions. Be careful. Be very careful in that. And that's the tendency. Like if you overreact, you can cause a lot of damage as well in a situation like that. How do you know? The mannerisms of the girl, I think, how she relates to you would, for me, trigger some of those things.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I've noticed, I think especially, let's say you tell a joke or something like that and the class laughs about it, it's almost like she has to make a personal eye contact with you.
Mm-hmm.
Have your middle laugh, and then you know, she got some extra attention from the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, that's a very quick sign, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Job had some wisdom. Job 31. That I think whether you're married or single, going into the classroom, it's a covenant commitment we need to make. I think of it every year when I go into the classroom. You're dealing with mixed gender. You need to make a covenant with your eyes. Joe said here, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. This is, I think it's the NIV. For what is man's lot from God above? His heritage from the Almighty on high. It is not ruin for the wicked, disaster for those who do wrong. Sorry for the spelling error. Does he not see my ways? We are all red-blooded males. And we have passions likened to men. And I think it's important for us to recognize our weaknesses and understand how you relate to the opposite gender. I had, when I lived in Thunder Bay for 2 years, and I was quite close with a young man. Well, he was older than I was. He was about 35 at that time. And we talk about people who are, he's a ladies' man. They were just attracted to him. And he asked me one time, we were in conversation, he asked me, I don't know why it is that girls just find it easy to talk to me. I don't know about you, but flashing bells of warning are just going off in my mind. And I've met other men like that. Some do have the gift of relating quite easily, but boy, you have to watch it. You are potentially opening yourself to many troubles. Know yourself. Know your limits. Be honest with yourself about your passions, about those things. Covenant with God to be pure. If you're with your, and obviously we think of moral failure, it occurs when people aren't honest, aren't allowing God to speak in through their conscience, and they're not listening to their conscience in that. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Timothy 5:1-2, treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Be very, very careful and definite. And I think that moves into some practical things to be careful with. Student conferences. We just remodeled our school and the older section. And previously, all the doors were just a solid door. And I think in some states, they don't allow that anymore. I think that's a good idea. Make sure there's a window. If you're going in for a student conference with, I think it's good for any student, but don't be doing it behind closed, solid doors. Go behind a door that has a window. Somebody can look in. It's above board. You're not opening yourself to false accusation or otherwise. Do it behind a glass door. So we put windows in all of our classrooms, and I think that's important. I don't have all of my classrooms turned to that, but those doors I try to leave open, other than a few times or when the whole class is in or something like that. But I won't counsel a student behind a closed, solid door. I just am very careful. If I do take them into the office, which doesn't have a window in it, I'll leave the door partially open to try and or I'll go down the room to the one room to our library, which does have a glass window. Be careful in that. Be very careful in any physical contact, especially cross-gender. I just don't think there's need for that. If you're having a student conference, and there was another question for discussion, or maybe it is, we won't spend a lot of time talking about it at this point. And you have a student in conference breakdown, I don't believe it's your job to comfort her. If you do that, if you physically comfort her, you're opening yourselves up to problems. If you are going into a conference where you think there's a potential of this, take one of your lady teachers with you that she can provide the comfort for her. I am very careful with things like dropping students off or taking students, if I'm going to be driving some students around, I'm going to be left just me and a girl student in the car. I'm careful about that. Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe you think I'm scared, but I'm concerned about appearances. How does that look if I'm running around with girl students? Maybe I'm overreacting. Like I said, you might not agree with me, but I'm conscious of that, and I'm even conscious of that in with my staff. If we go places, hopefully there's two lady teachers that are going the same direction if we have to drive for some reason or otherwise. Do any of you have any other specific ideas of things that we can do as men practically to safeguard ourselves? Situations. Another way of trying to maintain that distance, being professional, and you're relating to them, I think is important. I think it's important. We've talked about some of the physical aspects and physical contact and placement, but I also am concerned about when we develop emotional connections with female students. I don't think it's your responsibility as a male teacher to be their mentor. There are other ladies in your school, I'm sure, who can do that. You shouldn't be the one helping them through their troubles. You're opening yourself to if anything, you're opening the possibility of her being emotionally dependent on you, which is not healthy and is not right. Okay, let's talk about relating to fellow staff yet. And I say again, I understand that I've always had the benefit of another male teacher. And in some ways, I don't feel qualified to at all even speak into situations where you don't have that. Because there are things you need to talk about with your co-staff. And I would say there's some of the principles we just talked about with relating to the girls in your classrooms cross-apply here as well. Make sure the doors are open when you do communicate with them. Never put yourself in a situation that you would be uncomfortable with one of your board walking in to the school. If you are in a situation like that, then, you know, there are potentially danger things that you should be aware of. Keep your discussions around school. Let me qualify that. You're going to be hopefully good friends. You're going to have friendships within your staff. I hope you do. You will have that. But you need to also maintain that separation of what's appropriate and what's not. You should not be the one, again, that is counseling her or mentoring her on issues. I don't think that's necessarily appropriate. I'm sure it's happened where you maybe have an interest, or someone has had an interest in a co-teacher and the potential of starting a relationship there. How would you handle a situation like that? How should you handle a situation like that? Maybe you have first-hand experience. And that's where I would question whether you really can, you could both continue teaching at the same school. I think you need to inform your board right away of the situation and be under their authority and be willing to respect their decisions, whether how they want to handle that. Because it might happen. And don't forget, there's nothing wrong with being attracted to someone else and starting a relationship. That's how we get married. and it's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's of the Lord. But you're working in a ministry. You're working with people who are looking up to you. Sometimes we wish that we were just at another job. We didn't have to think through some of these things. If I was just out building houses, wouldn't have to think through some of these things like I do now. But you're not. You are teaching lives. You're being an example for them. And they're going to look up to you, and they're going to model what they see. And so, some thoughts. Any other comments? Maybe you have an idea or otherwise, more comments on that. Thank you for your participation. Let's just have a word of prayer yet before we close. Father, we thank you that you have given us the opportunity to share this time together, and we've been discussing some things that are challenging, especially in relating to the opposite gender in our schools. Father, I pray that you would help us to be men of integrity, to be men who are above reproach, that we are honest about ourselves, our weaknesses, our temptations. Help us to be dependent on you. Help us to walk close with you, Father. I pray as we go out this year, some of us for the first time, some of us it's another year, as we walk into our classrooms, into our schools, help us to model integrity. Help us to be good examples for the young men following us. Help us to be good friends for our co-teachers. But Father, most of all, pray, help us to be pure before you. I just pray that you would bless each one here in this classroom that's here in this discussion, and all the other men as well that are going out. Help us, Father, to honor you in all we say, think, and do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thanks again.